I'm Tyson Phillips. I thank everybody for coming out today, and hopefully this will be a little bit useful for some of you out there. I'm going to start with why. Top varieties in a yield trial, as far as we look at them, they occasionally underperform when you see them in a large field setting. What's in the book isn't always what you see out in the field. One of the other things we had in mind, breeding programs, advanced lines from both two and four row yield trial selections. And across the U.S., it seems to be a preference thing, whether somebody likes two rows or four rows or thinks two is better than four. It doesn't. There's no consistency. So this was a basic concept that an answer to whether two or four row was better. It was not something that was readily accessible in the published material. Plot width is often stated as a negligible factor. That's usually in reference to row spacing. So why have four row plots at all? So our initial questions were whether individual varieties perform differently in two and four row yield trials. We mean a specific variety, whether it's different, not just an overall test, whether a two row test is different than a four row test, which was our second question, which was whether two row tests give us different information than four row tests. And then if we made selections in there in a two row test versus the selection we would have made in a four row test, are those going to be different? Some of the past research we've come upon that there's an optimal plot length of around 50 meters is about the only number that I saw more than once anywhere. And this is with row feet. They didn't really care. I mean, if you had 5 10-meter rows or 10 5-meter rows, it seemed to not really matter. There's an optimum plot shape established for other crops, so we thought, why not cotton? There's been some focus on border rows. Border rows are common in breeding programs. It'd just be a two-row plot with a border in between the plots. We'll set up the experiment that we put together. We did it for 2 years, 2007 and 8. We had two locations, one in Bossier City, Louisiana, and one in Alexandria, Louisiana. In 2008, we expanded this to include two more locations in Mississippi, and about 3 weeks into it, they promptly went away. So we were stuck with two locations over 2 years. We had 20 commercially available varieties in the test. We didn't use any of our breeding lines. We wanted the stability in there. Just to look at the comparisons. We used a split block design in two and four row blocks, and you'll see what the blocking did for us. The emphasis was on the subplots. We wanted to look at varieties versus them, for example, Stoneville 5599, two row plot versus a four row plot. We didn't really care about the other ones comparing to those varieties. We replicated it four times. The varieties were randomized, but the blocks were static, and this is what I mean by that. Because of harvest difficulties, we couldn't randomize between replications the two and four row blocks. I didn't want to stand out there and try and figure out where I was, and I didn't want to put a picker driver through trying to get between two and four row plots. So this is what our test looked like. For analysis, we did yield and HVI fiber data, just the basics. We used proc mixed for a test of fixed effects of the blocks, and then we used a slice option for a block analysis. These are fixed effects for yield. You can see there's a significant difference between the varieties, which you would expect, but there was no significant difference between the blocks. the two-row plots were, overall, were not different than the four-row plots. And there was no variety block interaction in there. This is our fiber data. It's basically, I just combined them all together into one slide to save you from looking through all those. Basically the same information. There's no block effect and no interaction effect in there. And then, of course, by varieties, their fiber was significantly different. This is a plot of the yield with the two-row mean and four-row mean for each variety. And there's no significant differences in here. All the comparisons were made. For example, the very first one, FiberMax 989, those two numbers are, the two-row and four-row are statistically the same. Looking at limb percentage, you see the same thing. Some of these look like there's some separation in there, but they're all of these are statistically equal, just within variety, not compared to each other. Same with lint yield, as you would expect. And here we get into fiber length. Two out of the 20 varieties showed a significant difference in the two-row versus the four-row. With Stone Bowl 4664, it's a flex. The four-row mean was significantly higher than the two-row mean for the plots. And we see the same thing with Delta Pi 117. Fiber strength, again, no significant differences. These lines match up really well here. Micronair, we only had one difference, and this was good to see. We were hoping to see not very many differences in once we got into the fiber. And uniformity, again, Delta Pi 117 had a little bit of a difference there, and that's the only one that was significant. So this is just I'm not sure how much you can take out of this. This is a rank change. This is to look at if we were making selections and say we wanted to take the top 10 out of the 20 varieties we tested. You could see there'd be some problems in there if you're just looking at the numbers. There were no significant differences statistically in here, but numerically you may make a cutoff, so you have to make a cutoff somewhere. And if you were looking at two-row data or four-row data, you'd be making different decisions in there. Our CV for the test was at 11%, and it's decent. I liked it to be a little bit better. As I said before, there was a significant difference for yields, as we would expect. That's overall comparing varieties. There's no significant difference between the blocks, but the test is quite weak because we couldn't randomize those blocks between reps. And that's just the way it is. I mean, it's something we have to live with. And we added locations this past year to try and combat that a little bit. And like I said, we lost those, so that didn't help us much. The p-value was quite high for yield, and the p-value was not significant for fiber, for any of the fiber traits for the blocks, so there was no differences there. And as I said before, there's no significant block variety interaction. This test is extremely strong because of the way we had it split out into blocks. The p-values here are high enough. We're pretty confident in the numbers that there's no interaction there. There were very few significant differences for individual varieties for the various fiber properties. As you saw, there was only a few spots on those graphs that were yellow. And that test also is extremely strong. And the drastic rank changes between the two and four row blocks, as I said, you'd have to be careful in making selections, whether two or four row. The only problem is it's difficult to say which one is correct, whether two or four row is the proper one. So it's even harder to say which one is wrong, I guess. Some of the implications of this, pretty confident saying if the focus is yield in a breeding program, two row plots should be sufficient. There's no differences in there that are even approaching significant. If the focus is fiber properties, two row is likely sufficient. There was no variety that was different for all traits, and Delta Pine 117 was the only one that was even significantly different for more than one trait. If we go with a two row yield trial, it allows for two significant changes. You can double the number of varieties tested or have the amount of land resources required. Both of those, depending on the goals of your program, could be quite important. And this data itself indicates that four row plots are really not adding enough value to the test, that not adding anything that you can't get out of a two row plot. Some of the further research, we'd like to do the same varieties and the same layout in 2009 to increase the strength of that interaction test, the part that was weak. And we may add earlier generation breeding lines to introduce some of the variability and see if that holds up. And we'll try again for more locations this year. And that'll help us with different variances other than just the genes in there to see whether two or four row is the way to go. That's all I have. Anybody have any questions? Yeah. They were on 38-inch rows. No, I didn't run any statistics on the ranks.
You also didn't have any difference in the shape, and that could be a possible confounding effect. You were evaluating similar leaf shape. Right?
Yes, I used all commercial lines that there are height differences between the lines, but nothing major. If we use the earlier generation breeding lines, we may get some of the ochre leaf and maybe some taller or some shorter ones to introduce that variability too. See what comes out. Thank you everybody for coming.